The same passage of scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 12 to verse 20. And then we started to minister under the topic, the far-reaching effect of the resurrection. Today, we would like to continue as we will finish up the thought, the far-reaching effect of the resurrection. And right at this moment in time, what we are discovering is that there seems to be a little bit of hesitancy in Christendom as to whether or not we are convinced enough about our own belief. And the evidence of that is borne out in the attendance of church services right across the length and breadth of this country and perhaps the world. Since this virus, it has changed countries, it has changed people's approach. And even in the religious circle, we have noticed that change. And therefore, it requires an injection of something convincing in order to allow us to reach that place where we are assured of what we believe and to know that we are standing on firm grounds. And I don't think there is hardly anything else that can be used to give the assurance and the backbone in our belief than to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It means a whole lot. The resurrection of Jesus is the link between us falling back and us going forward. And I'm asking you, every passage that deals with the resurrection, I'm going to invite you to take a look at them. Not necessarily what I am saying this morning, because there are a whole lot more to it than what I will say. Especially the New Testament, it is filled with evidences of the resurrection of Jesus. And I invite you to take a look again on the fact and this most important achievement, the fact that Jesus came back from the grave. It gives a lot to Christian believer, and I trust that you will visit those passages. Now today, I'm quite mindful of the fact that we are going to have breaking of bread, and so I will try to condense what I'm going to say, so as to allow enough time for us going to the table of the Lord. And so we will try to finish up here on what we started last time, which was last Sunday, the far-reaching effect of the resurrection. Now, there are four points that I would like to present to us, and I will try to deal with them as quick as possible. The first point is, the far-reaching effect of the resurrection seals our faith. The far-reaching effect of our resurrection, of his resurrection, seals our faith. You know, I heard a songwriter quote, and he said, "My faith has found a resting place. Not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Very convincing words from the songwriter. The resurrection of Jesus seals our faith in him. We are satisfied. We are convinced. We are sold out to the fact that Jesus is indeed the Savior. Jesus is indeed the Redeemer. He went into the belly of the beast and he has secured the authority that was stolen from us. Way back down there in Genesis. And now he declared to John, which we will get to in a minute, that I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and hell, the authority that was given to Adam, was stolen by the enemy. Jesus has retrieved it back for us. And I want to tell you, it is something that gives confidence to the Christian community that the Lord that we are serving is alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when you think about the other founders of religion, Buddha is dead and his bones are in the grave. Confucius is dead, his bones are in the grave. Selassie is dead and his bones are in the grave. Muhammad is dead and his bones are in the grave. But I have news for the church. Every year, thousands of people go to Jerusalem to inspect the grave of our Lord Jesus. And when they look in there, it is empty. It is empty. Why? Because the founder for what we believe is alive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. This is something to celebrate. Our founder, is the author, is the finisher of our faith, and he is alive and he is well. Hallelujah. So we come together this day for the purpose of celebrating and worshiping our living Lord, for he burst the tomb and he is alive. Our faith is sealed in him, not in Buddha, not in Confucius, not in Muhammad, but in the man called Jesus, for he birthed the tomb. And today, with confidence as a church, we can say that we are celebrating our risen Lord. Hallelujah. You know, when Thomas saw him, and he said to Thomas, look, put your fingers in the nail print in my hand. Trust your hand in my side. Thomas could not even as much as touch his hand, but buckled his knees, buckled to the ground, as he declared, bowing before the Lord, my Lord and my God. It is you who came back from the dead. And Jesus said to him, you must continue to believe. And here we are. In fact, he went further by saying, because you have not seen, but yet believe. And that is where we are. Our faith is locked up in Jesus. Our faith is sealed in Jesus. We are convinced through the scriptures that Jesus, our Savior, is alive. And if you are here this morning in this service, I want to tell you, church, square your shoulder and stand up firm. What we believe is true. Our Savior is alive.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And the second point that I would like to make, as I said, we will try to condense these points. The far-reaching effect of his resurrection tells us that our work is not in vain. Tells us that our work is not in vain. Listen to the writing of the apostle again. I just read this portion to you again. It was read this morning. And I will read from verse 13 to verse 18. Listen to what the apostle said to his hearers. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I read from verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is your what? Preaching in vain. Your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so that the dead raise not. For if the dead raise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sin. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Listen to that gloomy presentation. On the ground that if Christ was not raised from the dead. The apostle made that clear to his listeners. But I have good news for the church this morning. I have good news for us this morning. And that is, the far-reaching effect of the resurrection tells us that our preaching is not vain. Our faith is not vain. Our witnessing is not vain. Our false. And the dead is not perished, but the dead has a hope to be raised again and come back to life. Isn't that good news this morning, church?
Amen.
All because our Savior is alive. All because he was raised from the dead. And I want to tell you, you who continue to call up people and to tell them about a passage of scripture or to tell them about Jesus, continue to do it, because your preaching is not vain. Those of us who minister from time to time, we will continue to do it because our preaching is not vain, because our Savior is alive. Hallelujah. Those who are in the grave had hope this morning because Jesus is alive. The far-reaching effect of the resurrection has given hope to those who have fallen asleep. We come together on Tuesday night. We come together on Sunday morning. And if Christ was not risen from the dead, all these efforts would mean nothing. But hallelujah, 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 against the background of the fact that our Savior is alive. Each time we come to meeting, we come to meeting with the assurance that we're going to meet with him in a spiritual sense. He's alive. He's alive. That is the hope. He's alive. That is what gives strength, conviction, and purpose to our faith. So I want to encourage all of us here who have done anything in order to lift up the name of Jesus. I want to encourage you to continue to do it on the ground that the far-reaching effect of the resurrection has given us that extra drive that we should witness for him and work for him and talk about him and preach about him, because our faith is not vain, our preaching is not vain, because our Savior is alive. The third point that I would like to make to us is because of the far region, because of our Savior coming back from the dead, it means that we have become valuable. We, the believers in Christ, have become valuable. Listen to verse 22 here, from what the apostle said. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Praise his name.
What a thought. We are alive this month. And I'm not talking so much now about us breathing, but I'm talking about we are alive spiritually. The apostles speak in another place that we who were dead in trespasses and sin are now made quickened. We have become alive spiritually because of the far-reaching effect of the resurrection. And therefore, we are serving a God that is alive. Hallelujah. Then read it again. For in Adam all died. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Your faith is valuable. My faith is valuable on the ground that Jesus has made us alive spiritually. We are not walking dead, but we are walking with life inside of us because the risen Savior has lived, is living inside of us by faith. We are valuable. We are valuable. We who were a nobody has now become somebody because of the resurrection. David said, he took me out of the miry clay, and he put my feet upon a rock to stay. We are now valuable in the presence of the Lord. Listen to how Peter deals with this. And that is 1 Peter chapter 2. I go there first and then I come back to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me read verse 10 first. is 9 and 10. But let me read verse 10 first to us. Verse 10 said, which in time past were not a people, but now, but are we now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now obtain mercy. Peter looking back on the whole thing, and Peter is describing that there was a time when we were not a people. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 2 that there was a time when we were strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, having no hope and without God in this world. We were not a people, describe the apostle. But now, hallelujah, as a result of the resurrection, we are the people of God. It gives value to our belief. It brings value to us. Hallelujah. We are valuable in the presence of the Lord. I want you to tell yourself this morning, wherever it is that you're listening from, that I am valuable. God made me valuable the minute he raised Jesus from the dead. We are not valuable in our own achievement, but we are valuable based on the finished work of Calvary. And I read verse 9 now, because, I mean, this is speaking, Peter speaking from his heart, and at the same time being energized by the Holy Ghost. Listen to what verse 9 said. That is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into what is marvelous light. That is the heart of the apostle communicating this information to the church, expressing to them what the resurrection of Jesus has done. It has placed us somewhere where we are recognized as being valuable. And we are called priests. We are called holy nation. We are called peculiar people. And what are we doing, are supposed to do? We are supposed to show forth the praise of him who have called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Meaning, each time we witness, we are showing forth the praise of the Master. We are showing forth his handiwork. We are a product of his suffering. And we are expressing the value that he has placed upon us as believers. And so I want you now, as believers, listen to me this morning. Listen to these words here from the Lord. I want you to tell yourself, hey, I'm not a nobody anymore. I am somebody, because the far-reaching effect of the resurrection has placed me in the area where I am counted as a priest. I am counted as peculiar. I am counted as holy. And if we follow the writing of the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul said, we have gotten a seat. He has made us sit together with Christ in heavenly places. Spiritually, we have a seat at the table. You and I, this morning, have a spiritual seat at the table with the Lord. The Bible says we are sitting together with Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians 2. We are valuable. We are valuable. Any one of us this morning, any one of us here, would be glad to be invited to King to the White House. We would dress appropriately. We would follow protocol. We would do everything necessary to be sitting in the same area as the president of the United States, the most powerful job in the entire world. To be president of the United States, it is the most powerful job in the entire world. And for you and I to be invited to sit in the White House, regardless of who the president is, it would be an extraordinary honor if we so do. And here we are, based on the scripture, that we are sitting together with Christ in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah! That is a time that we should praise. We should say praise the Lord here, because the resurrection has elevated us to that position where we become valuable in the presence of the Lord, so that we can sit there alongside Jesus spiritually. Isn't that wonderful, church?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We who were a nobody has become a somebody because of the resurrection. And here, oh, Peter, and I hear Peter describe how we achieve this. 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 to 21. Let me read it. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But with the, wait for it, saints. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 20, who verily was foreordained before in the last time, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and give glory that your faith and hope might be in God. That is what Peter is telling us this morning, how we arrive in this position as being valuable. We were not purchased with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. And then he went on to indicate to us that this lamb was spotless, meaning Jesus had no sin in him. It is his blood that redeemed. Hallelujah. And so we want to remind all of us this morning that we are valuable people in the presence of the Lord. The Lord regards us as being valuable. And I'm not talking about no church position like being a pastor, an evangelist, a deacon, an elder, a prophet. We're not talking so much about that, but we are talking believers in general. If you accept the Lord as your Savior, you are at the entry level. You are valuable, hallelujah, in the presence of the Lord. Because of the resurrection, if Jesus was still in the grave, our faith would be vain. Our preaching would be vain. Our witnessing would be vain. But because he lives, hallelujah, because he lives, he has given value to our faith. And today, we are demonstrating that we are a people that is valuable in the presence of the Lord because of the far-reaching effect of the resurrection. How good and important that is for us to remember. Because sometimes we don't feel like we're even saved. You will hear people talk, use this language all the time. Then I don't feel like I'm saved. I want to tell you this. Anytime that funny feeling come around you, remember one thing. Jesus died and rose again. And Jesus, new life is breathed into you and me as a result of the resurrection. And it's not a matter of feeling, but it's a matter of faith in the resurrected Lord. The far-reaching effect of the resurrection causes us to be a valuable set of people. Hallelujah. And the fourth point, and last point that I would like to make, is the fact that the far-reaching effect of the resurrection, of his resurrection, the Lord Jesus' resurrection, secure our resurrection.
Amen.
The far-reaching effect of his resurrection secure our resurrection. By way of recap, the 4 points. Point number one, the far-reaching effect of his resurrection seals our faith. Point number two, the far-reaching effect of his resurrection tells us that our work is not in vain. Point number three, the far-reaching effect of our resurrection tells us that we are valuable. And now the far-reaching effect of his resurrection secures our resurrection. Look on verse 22 here. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. No, verse 22. Yes, verse 23, I beg your pardon. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. I read that verse again. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. The apostle here is using a farmer, somebody who tilled the ground, thought. He's talking about the first fruit. The first fruit of the pear tree, the first fruit of the mango tree, the first fruit of the orange tree, or it could be the first fruit of any other product. But if you plant a mango tree, orange tree, or pear tree, and the first year that it bears only one such fruit, whether it is mango, orange, or even breadfruit. And when you have that fruit, you like it, and you say to yourself, you wish it had borne more fruit. You wish there were more fruit on the tree than just this one. But you get a taste as to what the rest of the fruits are going to be when it bear again. And probably the next year, instead of it bearing one fruit, it bear many dozens of fruit. And let me tell you this morning, as a servant of God, that all the other fruits are going to taste just like that one first fruit that the tree bore. Now the Apostle Paul used the farmer's analogy here when he declared that Jesus is the first fruit of them that faint. In other words, he's saying to us, look on Jesus. Take a look on Jesus. The immortal body that Jesus had when he came back from the dead, the same type of body you and I are going to have because of his what? Resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the first fruits of them that slept. And then, and it is important that I read the last part of this verse again. Afterward, after that first fruit, afterward, there that are Christ at his coming. It means that after this first fruit, every single believer, after they are resurrected from the dead, are going to be just like the Lord in terms of his body. I think it was 1 John chapter 2 that tells us, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. Is a demonstration that what we see in Christ through the scripture, we too are going to be like him. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection. It assures us that we too are going to be raised from the dead. And further on in the same passage, the apostle was not finished cementing this point. We're going to look at two other passages before we close this word today. After we look on this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul went on to say in verse 51, and I read from verse 51, go down a bit. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Meaning the believers in Christ, talking about the resurrection power. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, then the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So you can see here that the resurrection, the far-reaching effect of the resurrection, gives us guarantee that we too are going to be what? Raised from the dead. Death is going to be swallowed up in victory. As we read last week, the last enemy that is going to be destroyed is death. And we're talking here about physical death. Man will not die anymore as a result of the resurrection of Jesus. We also spoke last week about the spiritual death. Jesus has restored us from spiritual death. And now we are talking here about physical death, that we too are going to be restored from. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And so we jump over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 4. No, be the 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I trust that you are there. I read from verse 13 and I'll go up to verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. And remember now, we are, this last point here is speaking to the fact that our resurrection is guaranteed because of Jesus' resurrection. It's on that ground. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading from verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For if we believe, verse 14 again, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And what? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Let me pause there before I read the other verse by coming back to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 15, and point out something that the apostle had said. Listen to what he said in verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 18. Then they also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, perish, if there is no resurrection. And over here now, we find verse 17 said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be. No, it's verse 16 I should have read. Verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Hallelujah. Meaning we are not perished. We are not perished in the grave. But now we are risen from the dead because Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. The far-reaching effect of the resurrection assures us of our own resurrection. Because he lives, we shall live also. Then verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Then we which are alive, those of us who are alive when Jesus returns, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He finished the writing there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to say to the church, we have something to comfort ourselves with. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead. The fact that Jesus is alive, as he declared in Revelation. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and death. The fact that he is alive assured us this morning, assured us today, that we too are going to be raised from the dead if we pass away before the Lord returns. The far-reaching effect of the resurrection. And I would like to point out to us another portion of scripture to show you how far this really is. We who are in the New Testament, are rejoicing about the resurrection of our Lord. And rightfully so. But I want to tell you that we are not alone, church. The far-reaching effect of the resurrection affects our Old Testament saints. They are there in their graves, waiting for the same sound like you and I. They are there waiting for the Master to summon them to life. John tells us in St. John chapter 5, 24, down, that the time is coming when all who are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forward. All of our Old Testament saints, they are there in their graves waiting for that sound. Waiting for the sound of the Master. to tell them to comfort. And they will comfort with a body like Jesus' body, because he is the first fruit of them that slept. Listen to what Hebrews 11 verse 40 tells us. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. The word is saying here that, look, they are sick, laying down in their grave, waiting for us. Waiting for us, that together we will be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. Together we will raise from the dead. Together we will hear the voice of the Lord. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Elisha, all the Old Testament saints are waiting for the same call as the New Testament saints. Because of what? The resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus made it possible. All of your friends who have died in Christ are waiting for this call. All of your relatives who have died in Christ are waiting for this call. And they're going to come forth with a body like Jesus' body, because he is the first fruits of them that slept. The resurrection, the far-reaching effect of the resurrection made this possible. I want to confirm something that was said in Hebrews by the Old Testament saints. And that is Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13. Listen to what it says. They who live a long time ago. But here is what they said then. All the Old Testament saints. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They saw the resurrection. They saw the Messiah. They saw the crucifixion. They saw all of that by faith. But it did not happen during their lifetime. They were looking forward to see it happen. It did not happen, but the word said they died in faith, believing that it is going to happen. And I like one of the words that is used there. They embrace it. They hold the belief close to their heart and believe that someday the Messiah is going to come. The Messiah is going to die. The Messiah is going to raise again from the dead. And we who believe in the finished work of Calvary will one day be raised together with him. That is the Old Testament saying. And to further cement this thought, they went on to say in verse 16, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. Listen what they say here. But now they desire, the Old Testament saints, now they desire a better country. A better country that is an heavenly. Meaning, they desire a heavenly country. Not the one in which they were living in at the time here on earth. They, through faith, are looking for a better country. I want to say to the church this morning, when you listen to the news, when you listen to the news, both here in America and anywhere else in the world, we are looking forward to a better country. A better country than the United States, than Japan, than England, than Australia, than Jamaica, than Pakistan, than anywhere in the world. We, the believers, are looking for a better country. I read verse 16 again, Hebrews chapter 11. The Old Testament saying, start. But now they desire a better country that is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. That is what we are embracing today. We are embracing, as a result of Jesus' resurrection, the thought of a better country. A better country where there is no killing, where there is no violence, where there is no hardship, where there is no heartache, where there is no sorrow, where there is no death. Because the former things are passed away. The church today, the church has a hope because of Jesus' resurrection. That is greater and bigger than any other hope anywhere in the world. The fact that we as Christians believe and embrace Jesus who came back from the dead. And he declared, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that where I am, there ye may be also. Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, Apostolic Church in America saints, New Divine saints, the Baptist saints, the Anglican saints, the Methodist saints, the all different churches where Jesus' people are in, they are looking for a better country. Some of us were citizens of Jamaica. And if you ask me, still is. Some of us are citizens of America. But I want to remind you today that you are also a citizen of this country that the Old Testament saints speak of. Because they say they're looking for another country. The Apostle Paul said, we are sitting together with Christ in heavenly places. Therefore, we are also citizens of our spiritual country. A citizen in which our passport is stamped by the blood of Jesus. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Our passport cannot be stolen by the enemy. Mm-hmm. We are citizens of another country because of the resurrection. The far-reaching effect of the resurrection secures our position in Christ. And the last passage that I will read to us is from Psalms on the Psalms, Psalms 24. David, the Old Testament saints, that his nose laying in his grave, waiting for the call, waiting for the call, like many people that you knew, and many people that I knew. He received a revelation. And he himself had triumphant moments when he brought that ark into the temple. It was a tremendous celebration. And the Holy Spirit gave him a glimpse as to what it is going to be like when Jesus came with a shout. When Jesus comes with a shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive shall be caught up together with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, quoting 1 Thessalonians 4. David got a glimpse by way of revelation as to what that is going to look like, as to the moment that he enter into this new Jerusalem, Jesus, with his saints. David got a glimpse of it through the blessed Holy Spirit. And here is what he said in Psalms 24, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. The herald, proclaim, open up the everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. So the question was asked, who is, verse 8, who is the King of glory? And then the answer came, the Lord, strong and mighty. Hallelujah. The Lord, mighty in battle. The word tells us, in Colossians, that he has spoiled, in other words, he has disarmed principalities and powers, and he has made a show of them openly. And you remember Jesus speaking, I think it's in St. John, where he said, the only way you can spoil the strong man's house is if you go in there and bind that strong man. Then you can take away the strong man's position. Jesus went into the territory of the enemy, and Jesus disarmed him. Hallelujah. He is a mighty warrior. He is a mighty savior. He is a mighty redeemer. Because he goes into the belly of the beast and he snatches out the prey.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord.
I read verse 8 again because it is so important and relevant to what we're talking about. The far-reaching effect of the resurrection. Who is the King of glory? Was the question. And the answer came, the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. That is who Jesus is. That is who Jesus is. And verse 9, as a result of being reluctant, it said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. He will lift them up, the everlasting doors. and the King of Glory shall come in. And the last verse, verse 10, speaks to all of us responding to the call over there in 1 Thessalonians 4. Those who were asleep in the grave and those who are changed because they are alive, caught up with the Lord in the air. He is the Lord of hosts. Verse 10 says, who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Hallelujah. 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 That Sunday morning, when Jesus burst the tomb and Mary saw him, the first person to see Jesus that we have record on, Mary transport herself to grab him and to hold him and embrace him, because she discovered that her Lord is alive. When the disciples saw him for the first time in Galilee, the word tells us they all fall down and worship him. He's the Lord of hosts. He's strong and mighty in battle. He's our King of kings. He's our Lord of lords. It is he that liveth and was dead, and behold, he's alive forevermore. He's our Alpha. He's our Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. He's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. So I want to say to all of us this morning, we have something to rejoice about because of the far-reaching effect of the resurrection. It seals our faith. It tells us that our work is not in vain. It makes us valuable. And because of his resurrection, it guarantees our resurrection. Saints, be encouraged because our Savior liveth. Bless the Lord, shall we pray.